just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, girls. Hi. Psalmist says in Psalm 144, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as a cornerstone polished after the similitude of a palace." Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I like the Psalms, don't you? They speak so from my heart to God, as the psalmist spoke from God to the pen where he wrote. Well, I've been reading to you what I call the Bible for Today update. It's about our trip to Berea, Ohio, in a few years ago. And I'm talking about 1543. And if you remember, 1543 was the address of the house where I lived in, where I first went to school, the house where I lived in when I first learned to read, and the house where I lived in when I came home from the hospital and had to use crutches to walk to school. I didn't have to use them very long, but I had to use them enough that people stared at me, children stared at me and stuck their tongue out at me, but I didn't care because I was so glad to be out of the hospital after 3 years lying in a bed trying to get better. And I didn't get better until some surgeon discovered a way to operate on me and take all the diseased TB bone. I got tuberculosis of the bone from drinking unpasteurized milk. And they took that all away and they stiffed my hip up. And now I can walk. And I had 5 children normally. They didn't know if I could. They didn't know if I'd be able to stand up and sit down and walk. But praise God, I can, and I praise the Lord for it. Now, I was talking to you about dolls and toys and tricycles and games. This is when we were at 1543. That's the house number where I lived. But I'm not telling you the town, and I'm not telling you the avenue, because I want to protect that house. It was at 1543 that my sister Beverly was born. Now, Beverly is 7 years younger than I. She's been with the Lord for quite a few years. And my other sister was 5 years younger than I. We were 3 sisters. My mother called us her 3 bears. The heartache that would be our families over Beverly's birth would not be ours yet. We did not know she had brain damage then. Sometimes it's good not to know everything in the future. God holds the key of all unknown, and I'm glad. If other hands would hold the key, I might be sad. Well, anyhow, our unknown is not unknown to God. If you're a regular listener of Just for Women, you hear me say that all the time. I always say, may God prepare you for this coming week, and that your unknown is not unknown to God. And you know, that's very, very, very comforting to know that God knows our unknown. And we wouldn't want to know some of the things that befall us because we couldn't bear it. We can only bear what he gives us grace to bear and at the time of need. Okay, I remember the little old lady, listen to this, in her electric car. You know, we hear all about electric cars now. Well, this was way back in the early 30s. That closed car looked like a stagecoach without horses. It quietly moved down our street with great dignity. Who could forget? And then who could forget the paper rags man in his growling voice? He used to say, "Paper rags, paper rags, paper rags." I remember the ice truck delivering huge hunks of ice for the ice boxes of the neighborhood. No refrigeration then. If you needed ice, the lady of the house placed a sign in her window that said ice. The brave neighborhood boys with skates or bikes grabbed the truck for free rides down the block, especially when the ground was full of snow. And in the winter, the snow-filled street was a wonder as children sledded up and down in front of our houses. There weren't a lot of cars then going up and down the streets like there are today. There was always packed down snow on the streets and sidewalks in that Ohio town. Coal trucks, Sunday school, and street games. That's the next section. I remember the coal trucks that poured coal and soot through the basement window into the basement coal bin. I remember the side door that I used to use when I came home from school, and the little door where the milkman put our milk to keep it out of the weather. I have a picture of it here. If you want to have this, I can send it to you. Just call 1-800-JOHN-109 and say you would like to have Mrs. Waite's reading about 1543, or the house where she lived when she first went to school. And you can get this on a CD, too, if you want these whole radio programs. It's interesting. Your children might be interested. You could listen in the car. Okay, I remember the side door that I used when I came home from school and the little door where the milkman put our milk to keep it out of the weather. In those days, milk came in bottles, and the cream would rise to the top and freeze in the winter. There was no pasteurization in the early days, but not when I lived at 1543. In fact, it was the tuberculous germ in the unpasteurized milk that made me sick. It gave me TB of the bone. But by the time I was out of the hospital, there was pasteurization. But when I would visit country people, later on, I'm getting ahead of my story, and they would have cows, and my mother would say, "Bonnie cannot stay unless you boil the milk and pasteurize it." We also played cars, running like mad, trying to touch trees and posts and bushes before the car passed the house. Those were the days before television, when people knew each other, often sitting on the porch watching the children play. There was no air conditioning, only fans, open windows, and cool lemonade. I went to church from 1543 for the first time that I could remember ever going to church. Now, I'm sure I went to church when I was a little girl before I went to the hospital, but I didn't remember. I had like a hiatus of difference of memory. My memory was not the same as other little children who never went off and left their home. In the hospital, a lady brought Sunday school papers to us children. Church was all new to me when I actually went there. The Sunday school class and the large sandbox play table were a delight. My Aunt Norma was my teacher. Both my grandparents attended that little Baptist church on Lorraine Avenue. In fact, my dad was the Sunday school superintendent for years. He was a promoter of Sunday school. Whenever he was in charge, the Sunday school grew. Now, the next section is toys and trees and my doll, Margaret. The two large stone sides at each side of the front steps scared me. I have a picture of them here. I look at them now and wonder why I was so frightened, but I was. I wanted to jump from them, but I was afraid, and I never jumped from them, but I would stand upon them, but always had no courage to jump. I was always afraid I would hurt my leg. My first Christmas after the hospital was at 1543. After I pushed open the large sliding doors from the entrance hall into the living room, I saw many presents and fascinating things. I had never seen anything like it. Dolls and toys and a tree that I'd never seen before. A tricycle, games, and candy. I did not know that most of those gifts were not new that year. They had been stowed away for 3 years waiting for me to come home and play with them again. I was a pretty big girl before I realized that many of the first Christmas toys were toys that had been mine already, but I'd forgotten them. I think the big doll that was mine before the hospital was at my home. I did not know her. Her name was Margaret. I have seen a picture of her and me in my pre-hospital days. I was pushing her in a buggy, but I did not know it then. I loved Margaret. I ruined her feeding her and giving her water. Her cloth body could not take it. Soon she had to be buried behind the garage. The next year I would have a new doll. I named her Betty. She is up in the attic here in my Collingswood home in a box. Poor Betty. She is all in pieces and too worn out to be fixed, but I just can't throw her away. Betty was my first baby. That might seem funny to you, but you who know your dolls and loved your dolls, you know what I mean. Next is oak trees and childhood memories. I remember the big iron bed that was mine. I don't think I slept with my sister on Wager Avenue. I did later. I was 5 years older than Audrey. She was beautiful and blue-eyed with blonde, curly hair. She died when she was 20. What a daily unspoken grief for my mother. You know, girls, one of the things I regret very much, I loved Audrey, and I missed her. She died of Hodgkin's disease when she was 20. She suffered very much, and I missed her. I grieved for Audrey, and I still miss her. The first time I went to her grave after 25 years of not being there, that was quite a few years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I burst out crying, and I couldn't understand why. But there were all these hidden hurts and memories inside of me, and when I saw her grave, it just all came out. I was surprised at my reaction. Well, anyhow, I wish that I had talked to my mother more about Audrey. I didn't live near mother. I lived in various places, mostly here in New Jersey, but in Ohio and Texas and different places. And my mother retired in Florida. I didn't know what a help it would have been if I would have let her talk. She would have talked, I'm sure. And once in a while she'd say to me, "You know, Bonnie," she said, "I would not wish Audrey back to this cruel world if I could." And that takes something for a mother to say. And if I had only talked to my grandmother, who my uncle, her son died when he was about 24, 25, and he died seriously sick. And then I think of my other grandmother. Her daughter, my aunt, died when she was 40. You know, some people think people don't want to talk about the ones that have died, but I don't think that's true for the most part. The reason I have such regret, and I did talk somewhat about these, my sister, but I never talked to my grandmothers about the ones that died that I can remember. The reason I have such a heart for this is because my son died. One of my sons. We have four sons and a daughter. They're all adults. And David died in 2008. And I like people to talk to me about David, but hardly anybody does. But I just thought I'd pass that on to you. Anyhow, I wonder where I am here. Well, my sister Audrey, she was beautiful with blue eyes with blonde curly hair. And it was a daily unspoken grief for my mother. I would play dress up with my friends on the back porch. My mother set up a shop with this dress up clothes. I had a big box with dress up clothes in it. It was just like a dress shop, at least I thought it was. She put a rope across and we would hang the dresses up and we'd play store. I loved playing. I had a great imagination and I still do. And so I loved all this playing and this make-believe. When I visit the house that September day in 2010, the one that I'm telling you about, that open deck on the back of that house that was so big and beautiful when I lived there in my memory was smaller than I remembered, and it was really nothing to look at. Really, there were big trees around, and I remember those oak trees in the yard, and there they were, those same oak trees that had been there when I was a little girl in first grade. I remember those trees real well and the acorns. I'd never seen acorns before. In fact, I'd never seen much of anything before that I could remember. My mother wrote a poem about that, those trees, but I didn't put it here. I'll read it next time. And I sent it to the lady that lives at 1543. Oh, it's time to go, and I've hardly started telling you all these things that I want to tell you about. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm under God's care, are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforttoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, O God, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee.